Welcome, everybody, to Good Karma Wrestling right here on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Along with Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm, I'm Jonathan Hood from ESPN Chicago. And, well, Gabe Neitzel is over at Georgia's getting free burgers for another win for the Milwaukee Brewers. So he could not be with us today because of the free burgers that he's eating because the Brewers are so hot.
Do they get free burgers for every win moving forward? Is that how that works, or it's a one-time deal?
I would love that. I'd make the drive up there if that was the case for free burgers. Are you kidding me? Hey, we ask you to like, share, and subscribe what we do here on YouTube, youtube.com. It's great that you're watching wherever you are, but make sure that you hit that like button for our YouTube as well as being on Instagram as well at Good Karma Wrestling. We could use a lot more friends there on Instagram as well for some of the short clips if you miss our entire show. We got a very special guest for you. It'll be Maxine Dupree is going to be on the show. We'll hear from her later on here on Good Karma Wrestling. But first, let's talk about the big marquee item that we got to discuss here on Good Karma Wrestling, Brian.
Yes, the We Want Cross chance may or may not continue. Karrion Kross, officially a free agent, as far as we know, appearing on Ariel Helwani, saying it is not a work. So, what's next for Karrion Kross?
Well, let's get him on. How about that? Let's start there. Well, is he going to be on the program again? He's a friend of the program. If he comes on twice.
Yes. All right. Maybe keep your eyes locked into those pages Jay Hood mentioned. Just saying.
So there's a tease. We might have for another program Karrion Kross on the show. The unemployed Karrion Kross will be on the show looking for a job here at GK.
Hey, he's got to compete with Kyle Fletcher for that fourth co-host spot, though.
Boy, that's the truth. Well, listen, so I think all of us in the world of GKW, I know you and I both saw Paul Heyman talk to Ariel Helwani about Karrion Kross. And I don't know why Heyman took this leap of, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Let me have another volley, sir. Do you remember Stone Cold Steve Austin? Yeah, I do. I love Karrion Kross. He's not Stone Cold Steve Austin. Okay, let's not do that. There is no Austin 316 saying that I kick your ass. There is not that. But at least we could say this. I believe that Karrion Kross is going to stay with WWE simply because he was on SummerSlam. I mean, if we know WWE programming, if you're off TV, if you're not on a PLE, they are trying to push you away and then release you. So you know that there's going to be something because there's no way that he's on the PLE. Because why are you doing him a favor? Karrion Kross, he gets over with the fans. But I think somehow, some way, he'll make his way back onto the WWE landscape. There'll be a new contract. I just don't know when and where.
So in this new sports entertainment world where you don't know what's real and what's, you know, pretend, essentially, he says he was offered a deal that didn't really have terms. He said also that deal did not include Scarlett. They just wanted to bring him back. So maybe in that world, they're offering him. They're saying, hey, we're going to do you a solid. You're going to be on SummerSlam, but you're going to re-sign. And maybe that's why he was part of that card?
I don't know. I always think that just go through the history of just Triple H. Mm-hmm. When was the last time you had somebody on a card, on a Raw, SmackDown, or PLE, and then it's like, yeah, you're released?
Right.
That's not happening, right? I mean, the R-Truth thing is something completely different because that was the fans wanting R-Truth back. We have a voice as a wrestling fan. Brian, we have a voice. If we put a hashtag out there and it trends, you know the companies see it. And so just like R-Truth, I feel like Karrion Kross will be back. The only thing is like, so in what capacity?
Right.
Because as much as the crowd was behind Karrion Kross, you know, we kept seeing him lose to Sami Zayn. And that's the right call, by the way. But it wasn't real growth. The only growth is his book and the chance. But right. There was no growth within the company. Does that make sense?
Oh, 100%. And I agree with you. And I also agree that I think he will be back in the WWE. But from his perspective, why? Like, you bring up R-Truth. We saw that revolt. We saw the change. We saw Ron Killings on our television. And then this week we saw R-Truth back. And like, hey, I'm the funny guy in the back. Like, that's what's going to happen here. So why would he want to come back, I guess, is the question.
Well, look, I mean, so I'm just saying that based on what I've seen from Karrion Kross and what the fans want, it feels like Andrade.
Sure.
It feels like Andrade level. hell, lately it feels like Rey Fenix level. It's kind of the same way. Uh-huh. It's Rusev, it's Sheamus. That's what it feels like. I mean, that's on a high level.
Yeah, he's not at those guys' levels yet, but yes, it's pretty comparable.
Kind of what it is, though. Like if he gets a new contract, and I know that he will, he'll still be the dark character unless they're going to just do a whole redo of, like, cast of characters that have been underwhelmed, right, or underwhelming. I'm going to bring Rusev in. I'm bringing Andrade in. You could do that if you want. I'm just saying that the fans are behind him, but it's not like, oh, my God, I need to see him because of the outstanding things he does in the ring. It's just promos.
Right. But the WWE seems to resent those guys and girls that get over on their own. That's the issue. Like, how many times have we seen that happen organically, and they're like, oh, no, we don't want to book that person. Like, we had Maxine Dupri joining the show. Otis was super over. They did that whole thing with Gable. That never got a proper send-off, and Otis never really got that next bump. Like, they resent you when you get over by yourself, which is ridiculous to say.
Man, that hasn't changed since the McMahon era, huh?
Right. I mean, going back to Cardona. Cardona's the guy you say, hey, go pull a Cardona on the indies. Zack Ryder got over, but it wasn't enough for Vince because it wasn't Vince's idea.
That has to stop in wrestling. That has to stop. Has to stop. I mean, with Karrion Kross, it's almost like the WWE universe or wrestling fans are just trying to test or attempt fate, right? Because it did with R-Truth, and R-Truth came back. It wasn't just the men and women in the back, Brian. It was like the fans were like, hey, we like Truth. And Truth gave me what I wanted as a fan for
right.
like a couple of months because Cena was a heel, and now he's back to being the goofy character again. And so when that contract runs out, there won't be a second bite of the apple. I'm just telling you, like, the next time when his contract elapses and he's almost 60, out the door. Out. There is no, like, please, we need the funny guy, you know, we need – no, that's not happening. But with Karrion Kross, again, I think that it's a work. But I'd like – if Paul Heyman has something to do with it, I'd like to know what they have in store. Like, he doesn't work with the Heyman group. He can't be part of the – he's not part of the vision. So I don't know if that works. Does he have his own faction? Because WWE needs his factions.
We saw that already. We saw him with his faction. And we made fun of it constantly on this show. Like, Hunter was more into him then when no one wanted him on TV than he is now when fans are behind him. Like, that's the baffling part. When it was him and Ellering, it's like, oh, why are we seeing these guys? Now, all of a sudden, there's some intrigue. It's like, well, I don't want this guy on my TV. Like, pick a lane, Hunter.
The fans feel like he's been done wrong. And I would just say, he just wasn't booked well, and that didn't get over.
Right.
Like I just think it's the fans just trying to push the ball uphill. This is the same thing of we need more black wrestlers. You got more black wrestlers in prominent roles. Like, give the Divas a chance. You gave the Divas a chance. Now you saw women. You want women in WrestleMania. You got women in WrestleMania more than a 4-minute match. I want women in the main event of WrestleMania. You got that. It's just the fans just saying, you know what? We'll put it behind this.
Right.
And we'll see what happens. And they're doing this with Kross. I wonder what the next thing is after this.
And I feel like if you're Kross and this is all real and isn't a work, like, you obviously want to strike while the iron's hot. And I feel like companies will give you money right now. But there comes a time when that might run out. Like, if you don't have that Cardona mindset, all of a sudden you're not getting those indie dollars you want. And Hunter is even more reluctant to bring you back. And then you're stuck in no man's land. So if you're him, strike while that iron's hot right now.
It's to me, it's all a work. It's a work.
Yeah.
I mean, let me paint something for you. How about this? How about Karrion Kross still appearing in indie shows, but allowed to be able to be Karrion Kross where WWE signs off on it?
Sure.
And so he's building his reputation in his name with his WWE name, but doing it at Boca Raton Championship Wrestling. Like, he's doing this at, you know, in all these indies around the country where he's building up his name and reputation, and he can still be Karrion Kross and then put him on Raw or SmackDown.
But how does that benefit Hunter? Like, just that extra buzz? Like, are we going to get that much extra buzz out of it? Like, Natty's doing that. Natty's kicking ass on the indies, and then she's just sort of backstage fodder right now on television every week.
Well, she's not allowed to be that.
So that's the thing.
Like, it was too violent.
Okay.
too violent. You can't have that. I'm amazed by her, by the way, how she could be both. Uh-huh. I mean, she's just this nice, sweetheart, you know, veteran in the back. And then she puts in the mouth guard and she's cussing and she put up the middle finger in the NWA or or Game Changer or like our buddy Josh Barnett's group, right?
Yeah,
Bloodsport. It's it's amazing like how she's able to be this person that is box office to me. She's she's more of a badass than Shayna Baszler ever was.
Than Ronda ever was.
In that persona.
Yes.
And then over here, it's like, good luck, Maxine. Good luck. Good luck, Maxine. Hey, make sure you leave your comments as we move forward here on Good Karma Wrestling. And make sure that you like, share, and subscribe what we do here on GKW. All right, what's next here, Brian?
All right, we saw it on our television this week. TMZ presents a Hulk Hogan special with words from the one and only Vince McMahon. What was your biggest takeaway from the Hogan TMZ special?
Oh, we're going to be here for a while. Going to be here for a while. You know, as we talk about Hogan, you can't help but to look at McMahon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Vince, my takeaway? Unhappy with the current regime.
I wrote down, hates Triple H.
Exactly right. He's mad.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't have done it that way, pal. God damn it. So I'm watching that, and I'm like, oh. So Vince is wide open telling Harvey Levin, like, hey, so the way they handled Hogan coming out with Jimmy Hart with the flag, and it's like, I wouldn't have done that.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? But then
also,
in my mind,
the no invite to the 10-bell salute he's being bothered by also.
Written down right here. Not in the 10-bell salute right here. You know what I wondered? But let me just stop here. How do you think McMahon would have handled Hogan coming back to WWE? Is that a limo and he comes out of the limo? Is that a backstage vignette? Like, I don't know what was going through his mind. He goes, I would have done that, goddammit. It's like, okay, so how would you have handled it, Matt McMahon? How would you handle a guy that is siding, again, being in California, people not happy that he signed with the Trump administration, one, to the racism.
Uh-huh.
So how do you think that McMahon would have handled that and cut out those boos?
I think in his eyes, he comes out, like he brings Hogan out, he squashes Braun and Bronson, and that gets him over. But that's in Vince's eyes, and I think his eyes are, you know, similar to Hogan's. I don't know if he would have gotten that right. I think it would have been the same reaction no matter what you did with Hogan that night.
He could say that about Triple H, but he's wrong.
Uh-huh.
Hogan can't move.
Right.
You're going to drop the leg on Braun Breaker?
He would make him try.
You would have made him try. That's no question. But it would have been unsuccessful. So I think that's not happy with the Triple H regime. Not happy that someone who's been ousted out of the company, not invited back for the 10-bell salute. From there, he talks about, McMahon talks about how he loved Hogan and that he always wanted to give the fans what they wanted. You heard that, right? Another lie. Lie. Now, you could do the hindsight thing because you're not a promoter anymore, but the fact is that, you know, you're saying that you always wanted to give the fans what they wanted. That's not true.
Not true. Yeah.
You know, I learned something else, too. Go ahead.
I was also with Vince, like, the more we see him out there now, even with this new look, we're going to see him on WWE programming by the end of this year. Like, I am convinced he's going to be there for Cena's farewell.
Yeah. The lawsuit's still lingering.
Uh-huh.
They ousted him out of the company, and he's going to be invited back.
It came out this week. Brock has been getting paid for the last 2 years.
Contract's still alive. It was still on.
Yes, they ousted him, but he's been getting paid this whole time. While they cut people and had budget cuts, Brock has been getting paid to sit home as part of this lawsuit.
That's amazing.
Uh-huh.
That's absolutely amazing. You know, this might be another topic for down the line, but I just want to bring it up now just to kind of stoke the fires. You know what I also learned from TMZ? Watching McMahon. The difference between McMahon and Triple H is that Triple H, Brian, is a matchmaker, and Vince McMahon is a promoter.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think there's a distinct difference there because McMahon's telling you, this is what I would have done with Hogan, pal. Goddamn, like all that, right? But Triple H is more of, let's get this match in the ring. Let's do this, because we saw this with him at in NXT. Terrific matches that he put together. and great storyteller as far as trying to build stuff. It's kind of lukewarm now in WWE. Yes. It's not great. It's not horrible. It's just lukewarm. It's just average. But I could tell that there's a difference, because in McMahon's mind, he's just like, man, it's Hogan. I would have done this as a promoter.
Right.
I don't know if that's who Triple H is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I think Hunter's starting to lean that way. Also, would Vince have said yes to the invite if it was on NXT television on the CW and he had to stand in the back of the 10 bell salute? Would he have said yes to that one?
No.
Okay.
No. And the CW would have just gone to black. No Vince. No. But outside of that, like, as far as the Hogan stuff is concerned, I'm not surprised that TMZ did a great job.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. That, by the way, if you want to know the difference between a work and a shoot, that really is TMZ. All the producers around, they're had their cup of coffee, like, all right, what are we going to talk about today? And then the Hogan news breaks, and all hell breaks loose, and it's just like, okay, where am I supposed to be? Harvey! That was real. That was not BS. That's how it works in breaking news. We know
that
this.
Was cool.
We know this in this business. Like, that's how breaking news works, right?
Uh-huh.
So I think all that was great, and I thought Mark Henry was very forthright.
Yep.
And told you how he thought. He goes, how could someone tell you that he's racist and I'm supposed to just swallow it?
Yeah, I'm very glad they included that. I even wrote down, I was surprised by Mick Foley being so forgiving and dismissive in that moment. Where he's like, oh yeah, he's done these bad things, but I know all the good, so we're going to focus on that. Like, no. Like, I don't get how, like, someone like Foley, who I feel like is very open-minded, it was weird to hear that from him.
Foley is someone who celebrates Christmas every day.
Right.
So, but what I'm saying is, Brian, that's just who he is, man.
Yeah.
You know, Ric Flair has ripped him to shreds in Rick's own book. And then the shoot they did at TNA, and I think at WWE as well. That's who Mick is. Mick's just nice to everybody. I know what you're saying, but there's not a mean bone in that guy's body. It's not. It just is who he is. But I thought that Mark did a great job. I thought that just some of the extras. You could tell TMZ ran into an arena and said, hey, Bully Ray, what do you think? Roxanne Perez? I'm like, okay, all right. Let's get out of here with that.
I also very surprised with them acting as if Hogan invented acting. They tried including, you know, Cena, Rock, Goldberg. Like, oh, that wouldn't have happened if Hogan never did what he did. Hogan was awful on screen in movies. Like, if anything, he did more damage to the future of wrestlers in Hollywood. Like, I was surprised by that.
You're a bad guy. Because he just opened the door for those guys. That's what they were trying to tell you.
I mean, Stallone acted like he invented it.
A little too much to Stallone.
Yeah.
A little too much Stallone. Next thing you know, TMZ is going to be doing a special on him one day.
Right, yeah.
A little too much Stallone. I understand that Harvey Levin probably had the number.
Right.
And I understand, hey, let's call Sly Stallone. A little bit too much Stallone. A little bit too much.
The daughter story was unnecessary. Like, oh, I saw him one day that we FaceTimed. Like, all right, and?
And then, like, the you know, that's why TMZ does a great job. Mm-hmm. They went through everything. Like, they married the last couple of months to back in the day, and you saw his daughter there too, Brian. So it's like, okay, I get it, man. So they told the whole story the way it's supposed to be done. And even McMahon, and again, oh, God bless McMahon. He's just like, I heard him say racist things, but he wasn't a racist. Okay. So he's just a little racist. Just a little bit. McMahon. I mean, it's like, he says racist things, but goddamn, he's not a racist. That's not what I said, my God, what's happened to you? I gotta suspend you. What's happened? My God.
But then, you know, we'll bring it back also. Like,
whatever, man.
Yeah, they did a good job with it, though. I was impressed.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. And I'm glad they turned it. But they turned that stuff around quickly.
Yeah.
Quickly. So I was very happy with it. But I think the most revealing thing that we can take away from this is McMahon's pissed at WWE. Uh-huh. And by the way, hey, if you get a logo, you can do better than a spray paint of 14th and I. Worst logo I've ever seen.
It's gonna be our new wrestling company to watch.
All right, we had a very special guest on Good Karma Wrestling.
That's right. Raw is coming to Milwaukee. So I had the opportunity earlier today to catch up with Maxine Dupri.
Monday, September 8th, Monday Night Raw makes its way to Milwaukee, and one of the faces you will see that night joining us now, it is Maxine Dupri, one of the faces of the women's division, coming off her first ever title match.
Yes.
A week ago. How's it feel? What was that experience like Monday, sharing a ring with Becky Lynch with the title on the line?
Oh my gosh. First of all, hello. Thank you for having me. Monday was a whirlwind. Like, I had every emotion. I was nervous, so nervous. I have not been that nervous in a while for a match, but grateful. And I also had this like weird confidence because I have been working so hard in the dungeon with Natalia for this moment. So, you know, the match did not end how I had wanted it to. However, I now have my first championship match under my belt. It's out of the way. And now it's like, okay, I know what I need to do so that next time I can go home with the women's intercontinental title.
How do you manage those nerves and those feelings going into a big match like that where you realize all the eyes are on you?
You know, it's hard because it's so easy to get in your head and be like, oh my gosh, am I ready for this? But at the same time, one, it's so helpful to have Natalia and Tozawa in my corner. And they're there to remind me, like, you have trained for this. This is what we've been waiting for. You're ready. But obviously you have that little guy on your shoulder being like, are you ready? Are you sure? But, you know, nothing a couple deep breaths can't fix. And just reminding myself that, like, this is what I was born to do. I love to perform. I love the energy. And as soon as your music hits, honestly, it's like all those worries go away.
When did that bug bite you? When do you remember you saying, oh, yeah, professional wrestling, that's something I want to try?
So I think it was when I was living in Arizona. And my now fiance, he grew up a fan. So he's been a fan since he was 5. I became a fan from Total Divas. And I was obsessed with Nikki Bella, which is pretty iconic that we're sharing a locker room now. And my grandpa has watched Monday Night Wrestling every week forever. And so me and my best friend, who was my roommate, we were rewatching Total Divas, as girlies do. And I was like, wait a second. I think that this might be something I want to do. And it was funny because I sat my friends down and I made them watch a Bella Twins match. And they were both like, wait, this is what you need to do. They were like, actually, I think you're right. This is your path.
Have you been able to step back and realize then to go from that, someone saying like, oh, this is a dream, to now wrestling in front of tens of thousands of people? Like, when do you step back and realize what you've accomplished?
It's crazy. So something that I do that helps me like stay grounded is I have a notes app and my phone, a list of, I just have WWE moments to remember. And I like to look back on it because some of the stuff that like really like gave me butterflies and made me so excited, now I like wouldn't even think about. Like, it was just a certain someone telling me I'm doing good or something. So I like to do that so I can look back and be like, wow, I've really come so far. Like, the moments that kept me excited in the beginning seem so minuscule now. And it just keeps me grounded and helps me remember like, wow, this has been a crazy journey.
You mentioned the Nikki Bella stuff, and recently on their podcast, they talked about you as one of the faces of the franchise of the women's division. The quote, the crowd can't help but love everything she does. When you see a quote like that, when you see the praise from someone like the Bellas, what is your process? Who are you calling? Who are you texting? What's it like for you?
Oh, listen, everyone knows I'm obsessed. So it's like my fiance, my mom, my dad, my best friend, Natalia, they're all getting a text. They're all getting a text that I'm over the moon. But it's just so special, and it'll never not give me goosebumps. Yeah. Like, it'll never feel normal. It's always like, how did I get here? I have no idea, but I'm so grateful.
You know, we had Chelsea Green on a few weeks ago, and she talked about that experience also being with Nikki Bella and how it never was a dream because you never thought your paths would cross.
Yes.
So now that you're in the locker room, when do you sort of pinch yourself? Like, what is that experience like for you?
Oh, it's so crazy. And, you know, I always say, people who say never meet your heroes, they never met Nikki Bella.
Okay.
She is even better in person. And I feel that way with Natalia as well. Like, I grew up watching them on Total Divas. Like, I was like, this is crazy. So now getting to work closely with both of them, And even like, even Chelsea, you know, like I was in NXT when, you know, and I was actually a friend of mine in NXT that was like obsessed with Chelsea on the indies. And I was like, oh, who is this girl? Like, she's killing it. And then we met and then she made her comeback. And it was like, it's just cool to see people in those parallels, right? Like seeing them behind the scenes, getting to know their personalities. And then you see them walk out there and have this aura that is, you can't even describe it. And you're like, wow, how do you have me in the palm of your hand so quickly?
Who is, you mentioned Chelsea, you know, we're a big fan of hers. Who is someone you look at and say, okay, how do they do that? Who's someone you look at and say, all right, I want to do something like that? You obviously are very engaged with the fans, but to see someone like that, who's on your list there?
Oh my gosh, so many. And even Becky Lynch is someone that I have been looking at as someone that like, has really climbed the ladder. Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan's another one that I feel like she's hustled and hustled and hustled and like always been ready. And then she got her shot and look at her. She skyrocketed because she stayed ready. And she's someone I look at a lot and for that reason, because sometimes you get on the hamster wheel and it's like, okay, my time's coming I made this little mistake or I did this and like, where, how can I grow and evolve and stay relevant. It's a crazy little hamster wheel that you end up on. But I think when you get to look at them and realize like no one is an overnight success in this business, truly. Everyone puts in the work. And that's the beautiful thing about our business is we all want it so badly. And we all have that like shared passion.
You mentioned Natty and the Dungeon. If those walls could talk, that would be its own, you know, documentary series. What do you remember about the first time you stepped in there and where you are today versus that day one?
Oh my gosh, I was so nervous. I was nervous because Natalia is a legend and like she has done everything and TJ as well. And their mind for the business is so unique and so special. And I think, you know, when you grow up in this, you're getting feedback from the greats, you know, and she has so much knowledge. But the thing about Natty is she's giving. She doesn't gatekeep her knowledge. Like, and that I think is a true testament to like who she is as a, to her core. So I was definitely nervous. It's so hot in there. You're dripping in sweat. You're in there for 3 hours. You're doing drills you've never done. But I think what's so special for me about training at the Dungeon is the way that they coach, I'm very receptive to. I just feel like they understand me and I understand them. Like the other week, TJ gave me a correction on something and it was like a light bulb went off. And I'm like, how did I not think of that? And it's a correction that has probably been given to me before, but it didn't click. So I love the way that we understand each other.
What is that self-evaluation process like? Like, when do you go back and look back even a year from now? Like, oh, I got better at this or I need to do better here. What's that like for you?
I think it's constant, but I also think it's hard because, you know, we're all critical of ourselves. We all want to be perfect. And so it's like, after everything, I'm like, oh, why didn't I do it like this? But then it's like, oh, but I fixed the 10 other things that I would have cringed at from my last match. So I think it's a balance of appreciating where you're at, giving yourself some grace, but also if you want to last and you want to keep getting better, you do have to be critical.
What is that locker room like? You know, there could be egos, there could be competition. What's it like being around so many talented women on a daily basis, a weekly basis? And how do you guys push each other?
I think we have the most beautiful locker room of all time, inside and out. Like, it is crazy, the relationships and the friendships we have and how we all get along and how we all, like, riffraff off each other and just the energy. And, like, if someone's energy is low, it's like, go to Natalia because she has the craziest pre-workout you've ever tried. And like, just whatever you need to laugh, go to Chelsea, you know, like anything that you need, like you have someone to go to. And that's just like, so awesome. You know, it's like, it keeps the team morale up. And it's also very inspiring because I'm also looking around, like when I have an opportunity to face Becky Lynch, it's like, every woman in this locker room would kill for this opportunity and I'm getting it. So I need to perform not just for me, but to represent the locker room and make them proud.
Have you started dropping a little nuggets, maybe a Total Divas reboot coming soon?
Oh, we've been begging.
I'd be in on that. Like, I love the first version. I'd be in on that.
The first version, you know, we could never top. Right. However, I think that we could have a fun little spin on it.
For you, last couple things here. What are the goals that you look? Obviously, you have a long career ahead of you, but what are some of the immediate goals you look at and say, hey, this is what I want to accomplish over the next couple of years now?
You know, I think Natalia and I have been grinding and just really trying to get to a place where we are a well-oiled machine. And I would love to get our hands on those women's tag team titles. I think bringing home gold is just something that is just like that validation. Like, oh, I need to prove to myself that I can do it. So I think that would be a major one for me. I think a PLE match would be really special. Like a singles or a tag team match in a PLE is a goal of mine. I'm a big goal setter, so I've got a lot written down. But those are probably my top current two.
And then finally, your guys on camera, Otis, Tozawa, they are entertaining every week. What is the hardest they've made you laugh or break on screen or things like that? What's that moment that sticks out for you?
That's actually funny you say that, because I actually saw a clip of it, and the video actually ends before I was about to break. But it's me, Otis, and Tozawa after a match, and we're dancing, we're doing the Macarena, and then, you know, we're wiggling our hips, and me and Tozawa locked eyes. We were just like, it just like kills me. It's like, this, how did I get here? This is the best job in the world. I am doing my little boogie in the ring with two of the greatest humans I've ever met. I cannot say enough good things about who they are, not only as wrestlers and performers, but as people. You know, and like Otis, we've been missing him. I miss his energy so much, but I hope he's back soon. And Tozawa has been holding it down. He drove me 3 hours back to Quebec, or to Montreal from Quebec after the match. And like, he's the best. He takes care of our little squad.
Monday Night Raw in Milwaukee, September 8th. Maxine, thanks so much for the time and best of luck with everything moving forward.
Thank you so much.
So there you have it. The thoughts of Maxine Dupri right here on Good Karma Wrestling. Hope that you're like, sharing, and subscribing to our YouTube, youtube.com, and of course, our podcast as well. You know, that's a complete package from a PR standpoint. She looks great, well-spoken, represents the company well, but that's the person that needs shows on the road
right. That
they don't have anymore. That's the problem. That's what you want for your company, right? Tells everything's positive and she's learning. Her goal is to be on a PLE. I didn't realize that she hadn't been on a PLE wrestling before.
I mean, there's barely any women's matches half the time, so it does sort of check out. But yeah, like, the amount of time we have women wrestlers on here, and like, oh, I just want to be involved in a story without a title. Like, the goals aren't astronomical. They're in sight, but they just won't book it that way.
I'm just saying, Brian, like, she's someone that needs more work.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more work in the ring, because before I could see her as a singles champion, let alone a tag team champion in women's division, I need to know what she does besides stand there in vignettes and interviews. Right. I watch her, I'm like, wow, she really pops off the screen and exactly what you want. But I mean, I watch that and I go, she needs, and I watch that match like you did, needs a lot of work. But it's reps, and there's no reps outside of TV anymore.
Exactly. And that's someone that came through the PC, so isn't working indies to lead up to it. Like, they need that work. She didn't even work a lot on NXT. She was more of a valet there, but very odd the system they have going there right now.
Great to hear from Maxine Dupri. Let's go to our next item here on Good Karma Wrestling. Number three,
Forbidden Door, a little over a week away in the world of AEW. The card coming together, Hangman versus MJF for the world title, a lights out cage match, Swerve versus Okada. How do you grade the Forbidden Door card so far?
It's like all the other cards. It's a B+, and it becomes an A once we get through the show. it's you bitching about a match or two usually for AEW. It's like, oh, why do we need this match now? What? And then you get in the ring, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of that. I mean, even that cage match, like, we've complained in the past about Forbidden Door and how the stories sort of deviate off the path they're on, but we're getting the MJF stuff with Hangman. They're doing a good job telling that story. The Athena and Tony Storm stuff, Mercedes stuff going on. They're still telling stories, but then also giving us New Japan feel. I think it's an A right now.
It's fine. The cage seems like that's really overbooked.
Why is that not War Games if they're going to do it like that?
Right. Is that just going to be in one ring, by the way? I guess this one ring, right?
I think so. But, like, the bodies in that match, I saw someone point out on Twitter last night, somehow Darby, the guy that just climbed Everest, is the healthiest body in that match. That's a problem.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That is true. as far as the world championship's concerned, it's Hangman Page talking MJF into cashing in. It's like, oh, why does he – MJF's supposed to be more calculated than that. Don't get talked into it. Like, there's no hurt business, but I feel like MJF's got another card up his sleeve somehow to try to get some interference in there. He's not going to win the title. And if he does, shame on AEW, because Hangman Page, I think he has a great presence as AEW champion. After it was that championship was in the dark for 6 months, 8 months.
Yeah.
He looks great as champion. But do I need this match for Forbidden Door? Do I need it now, this month?
No. I was hoping they would push it off and Hangman was like, all right, you're not cashing in. I'm going to go book someone else and defend the title at Forbidden Door against someone else. So then you keep the story going without getting the title. And maybe that's the swerve next week. Maybe MJF doesn't sign the contract. And it's Hangman versus someone else at Forbidden Door.
I don't know. I don't think I need that match now. When you put in the ring two AEW originals, it's going to cook. Mm-hmm. I just want Hangman Page to win. You mentioned Okada's in a matchup, right?
Against Okada and Swerve for the unified championship, whatever the hell that means.
Well, it's the championship that Okada won with against Omega.
Right. It's his title, it's Kenny's title, and then a new title.
Yeah, the two titles make one title.
Right. One plus one equals three.
Exactly right. That's what it is. That matchup will deliver. That'll push Okada. And we're still waiting for New Japan Okada,
right?
But that will push him against Swerve. Swerve doesn't win that matchup, but I think that's very, very solid. Are there any tag team championship matches on here?
Yeah, FTR? Hurt Syndicate versus either FTR or Brodito, which I'm hoping for Brodito.
I'm also hoping for Brodito. I'm hoping they win.
Yeah. How about?
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I know AEW likes to have their guys have multiple championships a la Dustin Rhodes, but the ROH champion also being a tag champion, that means that he's on both shows, ROH and AEW, and Brodito or Bandito has been able to take it another step on AEW TV.
Yeah, the other one, Zack Sabre Jr. will defend the IWGP title. There's a four-way on Collision where the winner will face him. One of the guys in that match, Nigel McGuinness.
Yes, I saw that.
Nigel versus Sabre, sign me up for that one.
I'm good with that. No, I have no problem with that. I just think it's funny that you have 100 people in the back and a commentator gets a match. Yeah. That's what hey, what do I know? Wardlow's still hanging out, still waiting for an opportunity.
Yeah.
And a whole bunch of people. But nah, let's roll out the color commentator from Collision.
Yeah, whatever it takes. Tony Storm versus Athena for the women's title. Mercedes defends in a four-way, which will be pretty good.
Athena, Tony Storm, is that too soon?
The only reason I say yes is it's going to get lost on this card.
It's almost a standalone. It's that good, right?
Oh, 100. It could be the main event of a pay-per-view.
Yeah, But it's Tony Khan, and you know, we can't fight City Hall. He's always going to stack these shows.
Right.
And then mix it with some. He actually has done a better job this time around than former, because I know on this show, the three of us have talked about, why is there so much Japanese flavor? Why the lead up is like for 5 weeks, it's all the Japanese guy that people don't know.
Right.
But I think it's a little bit better now, where it's like the last couple of weeks leading into this thing now, we can be able to see some Japanese flavor, but get some really banger AEW matches as well.
Yeah, it feels like an AEW card with just, you know, some New Japan stuff thrown in there.
And you know what? That's fine. And New Japan's not hot.
Right, exactly.
Do you have the app, by the way? Or did you cancel it?
No. I learned my Japanese. I canceled in February after Wrestle Kingdom, and I'll deal with it again in 4 months.
You do recall when I had it, and I couldn't cancel it because I couldn't read Japanese. That was a real thing. I didn't know where the cancel button was.
It's not easy.
So I had a hard time. I was like, can I get an English translation? No.
Nope. That's on you to figure out.
There's holding on to these matches at some gym in Osaka. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what this is.
Yeah, but, it's rough.
All right. Well, now we move on to news and notes here for Good Karma Wrestling.
Yeah, we talk about AEW. Well, we know on September 20th, it'll be AEW All Out in Toronto. But reports out this week, there might be a WWE PLE that night as well. Looks like it might be Bad Blood. And the main event of that show, how about a John Cena versus Brock Lesnar? Also reports this week, Cena's final match will go up against AEW World's End. Coincidence, I'm sure.
You know what? I just don't understand why, when you have the lead, why you're looking behind. Does Triple H understand the term blinders?
Right.
It doesn't matter what AEW is doing. Do you realize that every time they do that, they split their own audience?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like, hey, we're McDonald's, and then here's Burger King across the street saying, we got a lot more over here, and obviously the fans are going to the consumer is going to be like, hey, they're waving us over. We know McDonald's, but they keep waving us over here. Maybe should we go over there? Should we go see what's happening? That's what they're doing every time they do this. You don't have to split your audience. And by the way, it's 2025. Do I have to keep saying this on Good Karma Wrestling? It's pretty simple. We can watch both.
Nope.
We're not going to choose one or the other. We're going to watch both. Either, even if you're the diehard, if you are an AEW fan, Brian, you're going to go over and see just what's happening in WWE so you can bash it on social media. If you're a WWE fan, you ain't tell me that you're not going to watch 1 minute of AEW, not 1 minute or at least a few matches, see what's going on so you can either praise it or bash it. I just don't understand why Triple H has to continue to do this. I know you're in a wrestling war. I get that. But it ain't like AEW's fighting back. They're just doing their own thing.
And like, there's a report out today that Hunter and the WWE want TNA to become the number two promotion because they can control that better. And a lot of this is because they don't want AEW to get that next TV deal and continue to become profitable that way. As a fan, and I definitely lean more AEW, I get excited for these moments because I know the show is going to be that much better. And we've talked on the show, I don't think AEW catches WWE anytime soon. The more this happens, the more I think it's closer than we might think. That Hunter and them look at AEW as legit competition, where it's like, well, we got to book against them. Oh, throw Brock out there. Oh, throw the final match. They're unloading a lot to go against a pissant company, as Hunter would say.
If you believe in the fake numbers,
yeah.
Apparently the max number is much closer to Netflix than you think.
So
I mean, and again, I don't believe in those numbers, but, you know, Meltzer somehow with his pretzel logic has come up with some kind of max number for Wednesdays and Saturdays that feels like the number is like close to the Netflix Monday number. I have no idea if that's true or not. But the point is, though, is that from the TNA standpoint, TNA has been a number two brand before. And guess what? It was just meh.
Yeah.
So if it's the number, and I know they have a TV deal coming too. But there's a TV deal coming for TNA. And I don't know if that's funded by WWE or TKO, but we're going to keep our eyes on that for sure.
Speaking of the WWE growing, Wrestling Observer reports there's talks of two WrestleManias in 2027, one in North America, one in Saudi Arabia. The Saudi one will be headlined by The Rock.
Is that confirmed?
There's reports out there.
Okay. So he's going to come to the WrestleMania in Saudi, but not... Right. MetLife Stadium.
Nah, Vegas MetLife. Is too far, but Saudi, he can make that work.
Or not even New York, New Jersey. He can make that. Okay, fine. When you have two WrestleManias, do you really have one?
Yeah, like I feel like one of them is easy to ignore in that moment.
It's Crown Jewel.
Right.
That's good enough. That's your WrestleMania, right?
How do we number those? If there are two in a year, do they both get new numbers?
Great question, Brian. That's a great question. That is like, you know, 44.5.
Right. How that 40, works.
46 and a half. It's so much money. It's so much money out there. That's why they're doing that. I can't knock it. They're just getting money hand over fist from Saudi, TKO, TV deals, network. I mean, God bless them, man. They're making more money than ever before in wrestling.
Well, here's some more that might be coming their way. ESPN president Jimmy Pitaro on the Ringer podcast was asked about the WWE archives and said, quote, we certainly would be interested if and when those rights come available.
The library, right?
Yeah.
Jimmy has no idea what's on them.
No clue.
It was suggested down the hall here that we should put Jimmy Pitaro on Good Karma Wrestling. Have you heard this?
No.
I don't know if it's an offer, but there's a thought that we should have him on the show.
Interesting.
From down the hall.
Wow. Those archives, though, like, they're so splintered now. Like, it's not like the network was back in the day, at least here domestically. The WWE archive on YouTube is one of the greatest things ever. But, like, the Peacock app's just so bad. It's just very odd, like, the value of that right now.
You nailed it, though. The YouTube vaults have been tremendous. Where else can I get a Cape Girardeau, Missouri, Jerry Lawler versus Randy Savage match out of nowhere? Right. Like, where is this? What's going on here? It's some house show, right? So, so actually, I used to, obviously, when the WWE had their network and they had WWE On Demand, I was big on that library. Loved that library, right?
And I loved the network where you just turn it on and just something would be on. It's like, all right, what are we watching today? Like,
yeah, awesome. But now I got YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good. Whatever they do.
Yeah. Finally, Swerve Strickland on the hashtag show talking about the Hangman feud said, quote, I put our story against any story in wrestling history.
The Bloodline would like to have a word.
Yeah, they're up there.
Shane, I would say, yeah, I think that your story with Hangman Page was good. Was very good. It's still continuing a little bit, but we won't know how great that story is until we see them wrestle again, both as baby faces. And I wonder if that's ever going to happen while Hangman Page is champion.
I mean, that might be next if he ends up retaining the title next week.
Yeah, well, we'll see about that. It's great for him to say, but I'm not sure it's even in my top 10 all time.
It was pretty good, though, and the way it turned both those guys, I feel like one of the reasons we look at both them as the stars they are is because of that feud. It elevated both those guys.
Somehow, some way, it made them both baby faces.
Right.
I enter your home and talk to your child in the crib. I burn your house down. Otherwise, baby faces.
Yeah, bygones are bygones.
All right, we turn now to the matches of the week, and I have slim pickings here for matches of the week.
Yeah, I have a 2.5, I guess.
It was not good. It was not a good Raw.
No, but I have Io versus Roxanne from Raw.
It's fine.
I enjoyed that. I mean, all the other matches just ended DQs. I think I saw Sean Ross Sapp point out it's now 4 straight Raws. The main event ends in a disqualification.
Well, that's what Triple H grew up on, right? That was the Attitude Era, right? The Punk LA Knight against Braun. Good action.
Yeah.
Always in a DQ. It's old school wrestling. This is what Triple H was grew up on, and this is great for him. Same thing, by the way, with Cody and Cody and Cena against Logan and
Drew.
And Drew, thank you. Can't read my
own writing. Same thing with Sammy and Rusev. Like, good match ends in a DQ. Like,
if I put these on, maybe I could see my own writing.
Yeah, that could help.
I put them on my glasses. Fletcher and Ishii, I thought was very good on Collision on Saturday night.
That's what Fletcher does. Mox and Kevin Knight from last night on Dynamite.
Very good. But you knew but again, what did that do for Knight? Like, you know, it's Cincinnati that that we're going to see the hometown kid win.
Yeah, that's fair. And then the other one I wrote down, not a match, but just as a attitude I remark. The Edge and Christian hug. EMC, back together. It was glorious.
Can Christian just smile this one time?
He's not ready to yet. Maybe he'll get there.
It's very strange. He still looked like a heel or an asshole. Still looked the same.
Their match next week against Kip Sabian and Nick Wayne, apparently. It'll be the first time teaming together in 20-plus years. Nick Wayne was not alive the last time Edge and Christian teamed up.
It's going to be on Dynamite, is that right? Or
no, it's on Forbidden Door.
On Forbidden Door, okay.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
Uh-huh.
Ali against Hendry on TNA. Remember Joe Hendry? Remember him?
Oh, yeah. Remember he was a big deal.
Remember him? He used to be a big deal. Remember him?
Yeah.
2 RKOs at WrestleMania. Remember this?
He got to do that. He swears, by the way, like there's a WWE contract waiting for him at the end. Haven't they gotten everything they wanted out of him?
Well, that's why the good Lord made TNA. That's why the good Lord made...
Oh, okay.
Because he's not a top star.
No.
His star is fading right now since WrestleMania.
Uh-huh.
I love Mustafa Ali. I'm just saying he lost in that matchup on last week's episode. So, okay, whatever.
He got his moment, though.
Our hope is that you like, share, and subscribe what we do on YouTube, youtube.com for Good Karma Wrestling. We are growing every single day because of you. Make sure you tell people about Good Karma Wrestling. Also on Instagram as well, at Good Karma Wrestling. Catch me, by the way, on Pro Wrestling Nation 24/7. Yes, thank you very much. Name change. So on the old Busted Open, that's where you can find me Sunday mornings with Justin LaBar as we break down wrestling. I bring that GKW flavor over to Sirius XM Channel 156. I do it every Sunday. So for Gabe Neitzel and for Brian Rhodes, this is Jonathan Hood. Thanks so much for checking out this edition of Good Karma Wrestling. So long, everybody, from the Sunshine State and the land of Lincoln.